United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back, and you heard my rant the first hour here, 25 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock, here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We have a caller, local call. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, man. I agree with all three of your talking points there, of all three of them, about the gay marriage and the thing that really messes me up that I don't like is the minimum wage raise. And we're tied in Ohio now that the people voted on that every year that's going to go up anyway.
Yeah, they're tied it to the cost of living.
Cost of living, and that can go way up or it can go a little bit up. But, you know, I realize that there should be some type of minimum wage that you should work for. But I feel that you should at least give the businessman, the small businessman with certain amount of employees, a 90-day window to see if these people that you hire could do the job. You get somebody in there that can't do the job, you still got to pay them $10 an hour. Or $8 an hour.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. But
you're just throwing your money out the window because you got to train them. You got to show them how to do it. And if they don't show up for work or they don't know how to do it, then you go to the next one. You might find four or five people before you find the right one. And that's all money thrown out the window in my eyes.
Here's how I am with it. I'm not paying you more than $5, $6 an hour to sweep the floor at my barbershop. Uh-huh. Or even sweep up in a grocery store, I might pay you $7 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm not trying to pay you a living wage.
That's not what it's for, really.
Right.
You know, when I started, Jeff, and this is going back a year, I started at $1.10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I busted my butt because I wanted, over a certain amount of months you've been there, you like might get a quarter an hour raise. That was big money back then.
Yeah.
That was and I worked in like car washes where you had to stand outside and wash the cars.
Oh yeah.
And stuff. And, you know, and my father raised me. You know, if you want something, you got to work for it. I can give you the basics, but if you want luxuries, you're going to have to work for it. And I can help you out as long as I see what you're doing. And that's how I was raised.
Yeah, of
but,
course.
You know, I mean, but things were cheaper then. Yeah, you know, a car, a couple $100. You know, everything was cheaper then. But, yeah, minimum wage was down. Now it's – I think from when I was – this was in the late 60s. So now this is – you know, it's the same amount now, although minimum wage is higher, but gas is higher and the food is higher. In my time, everything was low. But, you know, I remember pulling in McDonald's and for 30 cents, I can get a couple hamburgers and a drink.
But you weren't making that much.
No.
What has happened is we have jacked up the – prices and in our country by two things. One thing, is the minimum wage, where we just asked, you know, to raise it. Doesn't matter whether you're qualified to get that much money or whether you've been trained. It doesn't matter. Just give it to them. Then you have the unions that have been with these contracts that make a company have to make profit. They can't take any losses. Can't afford it, or if they go out of business, because the union contract is in place and it's not going anywhere. So therefore, if I hire you and say we're going to pay you $10 an hour, your contract says that every year you go up 2%. Well, heck, if there's a downturn in the economy, where is there for me to go, the business owner? Nowhere.
You got to absorb it.
Exactly. You have to.
If you got that contract, you're going to have to absorb it.
Right.
But this is going to hurt the little people, Jeff.
It's destroying small business.
And all it's going to do is those less people where you'll have to wait longer and pay more.
Absolutely.
That's all it's going to do. You'll have to wait longer and pay more for what you're getting for.
Speaking of that.
No, I mean, that's and I was so against. You know, Jeff, I was so against the people voting that in. Yeah, why would they say no? Voting that in Ohio. Why would you say no? I don't want that for tying to inflation.
Oh, yeah, because you can't tell people though the truth. You can't tell them that.
They don't want to hear the truth.
No.
They don't want to hear. You know, another thing that I don't want. This is for another show, but another thing that's really burning my butt is closing them Youngstown schools because I live in Youngstown. That's another thing that I. For another day.
Well, I mean, you know, to their defense, I'll say this. They didn't expect to lose that many people as fast as they did.
Well, I did. I didn't vote for them to build them.
I hear you.
I didn't vote for them to build them, and now I want some of my tax money back, Jeff. You know? Hey, if they're going to close the schools, I want some of my money back.
Man, my property taxes went up $200 a year.
Mine went up about $150. I live on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Here. But them are beautiful. I mean, they didn't even have to do Volney Rogers, and they tore that building down and rebuilt it, and now they're going to close it. And I predict in the future, and we got into another subject here, but I predict in the future they're going to move in and remodel them schools, and there'll be little apartments for everybody. Day or day.
You might be right, but you know what it's time for? It's time for us to go to the county educational system. No more each little district has its own, school system that they have to support and do this for, that, blah, blah, blah. We have 88 counties, 88 school districts. Maybe even for some of the small districts that don't have that many people in it in Ohio, which I don't know where that might be. But, you know, maybe you do 86 counties only systems. And then name that other county part of, the next larger county next to that smaller district. You have to do something to quit, raising these costs. But see, this is where you'll get hell for that. Did you see the PSAs on the post office wanting you to call in and tell your senators and to keep them working on Saturday? I could care less about them working on Saturday.
I don't want bills anyway. They don't have to come to my house no time.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that Hawthorne guy says, well, if we don't close them down, they'll have to just tax the people some more. I mean, that's not the answer.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have any choice, though, because...
Well, he's not going to get it from me.
look at what's going on, though. Watch your school board meetings. That's what I'll tell you. This is a little heads up. Watch your meetings and maybe go to one and see what they're saying and what they're not saying, what they're doing and not doing, and see if there might be just some little bit of incompetence with the board themselves. Because I don't know how in the heck you ignore or put off okaying something that the state people said that they want to see, which wasn't just there was recommendations that came down to this board to do that they didn't act on. And it would help the kids, and I'm hearing that, and I'll put it like this, allegedly, that they are ignoring these recommendations. Well, you guys going to have to get it together down there and start, really making some noise about helping these kids do something. Mm-hmm. Because the kids are suffering for no reason. They already have it hard enough because they have social problems more so than everybody else.
That's kind of a big part because I was brought into a single parent family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my father told me you're going to graduate or you'll be like Jeff Rowe on a Beverly Hillbillies in the fifth grade. I mean, he meant it. I don't care. After high school, then you're on your own, buddy. But you're going to make high school.
Absolutely.
And I made it. And your first talking point about Nancy Pelosi, ain't that a shame that she's associated with the United States?
I can't understand who the people.
She's out in Frisco, right?
Yeah, but I mean, unless they're just, because of what their belief is, their ilk is as far as, real liberal policies, there's no reason to vote for Nancy Pelosi.
None.
Somebody has. Now, I don't like Dianne Feinstein's latest rant. She's a very liberal person, but I could deal with Dianne Feinstein up to this last bit because she's a smart woman. She carries herself well. She's not stupid. Now, this fight that she's fighting with right now, she's fighting with ideology, for an ideology, I should say. She's not fighting this for real because she has no argument for this gun control. None whatsoever.
No, not at all. No, I haven't really followed that. I don't I don't have guns, and I don't see nothing wrong with giving them background checks, but I don't think that's the problem of, you know, what's going on now. I mean,
right.
If you want a gun, you can get a gun. As long as you got the greenbacks, you can get a gun.
Oh, always, and you'll get it on the black market.
Yep, you can get it faster than a guy that has guns.
Thank you. No background check.
No, you don't need no check.
Hey.
All you need is them greenbacks.
Right. No, no identifying numbers.
No,
nothing.
Nothing. You can get it. You can get it in the next hour. But I agree with you on most of the things you said, Jeff. All of the things you said today.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just like I'm against that. That minimum wage. That's how I feel about it. And you know, I just don't like the you know increase in Ohio. I mean, eventually it's in Ohio. It's going to be $10.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's going to be. I mean, I'm 58. I might see $15, $16, $20 an hour if I live long enough.
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, you know, it is really, 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 really too much. And
that's never going to get voted out.
No.
Never.
No, because you have enough, you know, guilty act to people. Just see, there's a dynamic I just really hate in America. But, you know, it's a really terrible dynamic. That, how should I say this? I'm trying not to lose my train of thought as I try to think of a way to say it. But we have to stop the craziness and the total unreasonable nature, of the other set of policies that are coming forth right now.
Yeah, well, I think everybody wants that free ride.
Well, yeah, they do.
I mean, it wasn't like that when I was on unemployment once in my life when I felt like a heel.
Well, I didn't feel like a heel because I saw what they took out of my checks.
Yeah, I went and got a job cleaning offices. I just couldn't.
Well, I mean that's wonderful. And
I can't do that. I mean, maybe someday in my life I'll have to face it and take it, but as long as I got my strength, I'll do something.
Well, how about this? I was on disability from one job, and as soon as I got a chance, I could have stayed on disability the rest of my life. I didn't, and as soon as I got a chance to go back to work, I did.
You know, you got raised by a good father.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's the answer.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what my father told me. I mean, there's no free ride here.
No.
I mean, you know, I'll help you when I can help you, but I'm not giving.
No, my father made me pay rent.
I wasn't that bad.
Well, we were.
I wasn't. I mean, I got to live in the house, you know.
Yeah, well, no, I did too, but I had chores and I had to pay rent.
I had the chores.
Yeah.
These kids today got it made with all the.
Oh, my God.
I had to cut the grass with those hand clippers.
Oh!
I mean, you know, with the old mower.
Yeah. My grandfather had one.
You know, one of those things. And then I had the hand clippers to do around the bushes. And we didn't have a driveway. And we had gravel, so we had to shovel that. And that thing better be down to the gravel before my dad got home. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's how it was. You know, my dad, when the street lights come in, you better be in the front yard.
That was the rule, wasn't it?
Yep, I mean the whole neighborhood.
That's right.
You knew when it gets dusk, well, I got to go.
I got to go. Well, we're right in the middle of the game. I do not care.
You got to go.
I'm going.
You in the front yard. All the neighbors knew you, so you couldn't get away with nothing.
No, not at all.
If you got away with something down the street, your mother would know before you got home. Right?
You're right. You're right, Colleen. No, there's no doubt about it.
Hey, Jeff, I got to go. It's a pleasure
talking
to you.
Hey, have a good
buddy.
One, my friend.
You take care.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. South Carolina, you're going to be next, but we're about to go to break. What you got to say, man?
Oh, man, I know how you feel now, Jeff. I have been getting beat up on Facebook, man.
I got to go to your page, man, and help you out because you've helped me out from time to time. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, I tell you what, you tell somebody that you think the act of being gay is unnatural, and they jump all over you.
Yeah, that's all right. Tell them that's okay. South, you hang on. We got to pay some bills. We'll be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be back in a few seconds after we pay these bills.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A Youngstown man charged with rape and other crimes was tossed back in jail after reportedly violating terms of his bond. 34-year-old Newell Spann is accused of making a grocery delivery to the alleged victim's home shortly after he was released from jail. His accuser is a 36-year-old woman he had dated. A Warren man was found stabbed to death yesterday morning. Police say they were dispatched to a home in the northwest part of town to check on the welfare of 49-year-old Dwayne Hickman. Officers found Hickman after they made their way inside the home. He had been stabbed several times. Hickman had a long criminal history. Police said they had no suspects. Verizon Wireless is among several companies that have received approval for job creation tax credits for their proposals in the state of Ohio. The Ohio Tax Credit Authority approved assistance for 13 projects expected to create more than 1,400 jobs and retain close to 3,000 positions. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system from Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244. 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor and Department of Insurance Director Mary Taylor with an important message for Medicare beneficiaries. The department's Ohio Senior Health Insurance Information Program will be holding Welcome to Medicare events across Ohio starting in April. These free events are a great opportunity to learn more about Medicare benefits and prescription drug coverage. To learn more, please visit insurance.ohio.gov or call 1-800-686-1578 to make your reservation.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m., the latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM.
this is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and friends here on WSOM 600 AM. We're talking about what's on our minds and what's on your minds and trying to see what we can agree with in between. South Carolina, go ahead. The numbers here are 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. I got another one for you. Did you see this overseas that the French are tearing up France, protesting the government considering legalizing same-sex marriage?
Really?
Oh yeah, I was totally
liberal France.
I was like, sacre bleu. Oh, they have some sense over there. Because, like I mean, go ahead.
I mean, you know, it just, I do not have any issue with you wanting to be gay.
Right.
If that's what you want to do, then that is your preference. More power to you.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I have, and this is an issue that I'm having, is it seems when you tell someone that you don't agree with them, you know, with their lifestyle, they go absolutely crazy. You're a bigot. You're this. You're that. And so on and so forth. And you're being intolerant. You're a homophobe. But I don't get it. And I've come to the conclusion that the issue and the problem is not mine. It's theirs. I can accept their lifestyle, but they can't accept the fact that I don't agree with their lifestyle. They're looking, it seems that they're looking for some type of affirmation that everything is okay with what they're doing. And I'm not going to give it.
Right.
You know, I didn't give it to my daughter when she decided she wanted to come out, and I'm not going to give it to anybody else. I feel it's an unnatural act.
Yeah, I feel the same because it is unnatural. Let's face it. You know, if the obvious reason for you to have sexual organs is so that you can come together and procreate, then not using it for that is something else than what it was created for, and it's just like using, a rock to be a hammer.
That's not too smart.
A rock to be a hammer, because you know, it might get the job done, but it's not going to be, even. Let's put it that way. It's not going to be the same. If you had a brick, it might. But the thing is it's still not going to, the desired effect is not going to get there.
Yeah.
You're not going to knock it down. How?
I mentioned the thing natural, and the guy came back and said that, you know, there are over 400 species out there that they can find homosexuality in. Okay? And I'm like,
no.
Okay. And I asked him to cite it. And he gives me a cite of a blog page, you know, that's affiliated with Psychology Today. And
right.
I'm like, come on, man. This is just, your argument is specious at best. I mean, it's really ridiculous. I mean, you and then he sent me a picture of a deer pumping each other. And I'm like, if you're not familiar with you've been down here in the South. And when a dog goes in heat, the males go crazy. They will hump a knot in a tree. That's just what happens to them. It's a natural act for them. Why is it so important for them to tie their struggle with ours?
Yeah, the chat room is crazy back in there. Brother Man, that's crazy, ain't it? Brother Man says, he's saying if I was attracted to a chicken, everyone would think I was crazy. And then computer guy talking about, yeah, chicken love.
Well, that is
chicken
the natural
love.
Progression.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That is the natural progression of things, man. I mean, if you realize it, you know, if you think about it, you know, the next thing's going to be, I want to marry my brother. Or I want to marry my sister. Or I want to marry my mom. And so on and so forth. Okay? And then it breaks down into, well, I don't want to get married. I just want to have sex with little boys. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And
so
it's going to be all right.
At what point are we going to take care of it?
The thing is, you know, where does it stop? We have pedophilias. You already have a non-profit organization called NAMLA. You know, sex after 8, it's too late. Meaning that they think that they should be able. They're pedophiles, and they have an organization. People out there, listen to me. It's real, okay? It is quite real. And I can bring you something in the news for those of you here in Ohio that you could grasp onto. Our last governor, previous governor, got a nice donation from NAMLA because he made a declaration on the House floor when he was in the House. And this is Governor Strickland, who used to be state, you know, our Representative Strickland from Ohio. And Mr. Strickland made this comment that was based off a study in the New England Journal of Medicine that said just because an older man has sex with a younger man, you know, it is not, or a younger boy, it is not always harmful. And I could not believe that this guy wanted to be identified with this group. I just couldn't get to it.
Okay. Let me get this straight now. A older man has sex with a young boy and is not harmful.
Not then always harmful.
So how come in every...
If you're having
sex with any individual underage, it's called statutory rape?
Oh, yeah.
It's an age of consent. So if they don't consent to him, then guess what? It's rape, folks.
Here it is. What he's saying is that psychologists were saying that it is damaging to a child to go through this, and he was saying, no, it's not always. Just sometimes. First of all, I want to say, well, how do you know? How do you know? That'd be facetious because, you know, I'm saying.
I'll tell you what. Let him go.
But he banned gay marriage.
Uh-huh. Let him go down to any prison. Put on his prison garb, go in his cell, and get raped a couple times by his cellmate and see if it's damaging or not.
See if it's harmful to him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody was put in the room that allegedly that he might be gay himself, especially since he and his wife didn't live together in the same house until he ran for governor, which is something in itself.
And here's the thing that I think that supporters of gay marriage and homosexuals, you know, don't understand. They do not understand that we do not hate them. Okay? Mm-hmm. We do not dislike them. Okay? We do not, I don't really care if that's what you want to do. But they equate our dislike or disdain for their act, the act that they're, you know, that they're doing, as hatred. I don't quite get that.
The new thing for the left or the major weapon for them is to demagogue any difference and say that you're a homophobe. You're pro-life as though that's a terrible thing for you to be pro-life, knowing that the child is not the same body as that woman. So the woman talking about she ought to know what she wants, she ought to be allowed to do what she wants with her body. That's fine, but what she going to do with that baby's body that is totally separate from hers, except by the feeding of the umbilical cord.
Yeah. But Jeff, I don't have any problem with lesbians. I am a lesbian. I'm a male lesbian.
Yeah, that's I always say that. I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body. I'm going to get beat up when I get home on that one, but that's okay. That goes back to my younger days. We'll leave that alone. But you know, it's crazy. It's real crazy. You know, I don't know. I'm just having a hard time with it. But they're tearing up over in France over this. They say hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people came out to protest same-sex marriage in France, and which is really something. I mean, I'm really miffed about that because
I'm surprised at that.
I am too, very, because they're usually very, very, very liberal. And reading a little bit of this story, it says Paris riot police fought back crowds who pushed their way onto Paris landmark Champs-Élysées Avenue as part of a huge protest against a draft law allowing same-sex couples to marry and adopt children. Hundreds of thousands of people, conservative activists, children, retirees, priests, converged on the Capitol Sunday in a last-ditch bid to stop the bill. Many bussed in from the French provinces. The lower house of France's parliament approved the Marriage for Everyone bill last month with a large majority, and it's facing a vote in the Senate next month. Both houses are dominated by French President François Hollande's Socialist Party and its allies.
That's why
we're hit here. We are hit, and we're getting ready to go to break here in a second. So when the music cuts in on us, don't get offended. It's not my fault. Okay. But anyway, that's the deal right there. And so I'm looking at this. There we go. We'll be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff in the air chair.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The Supreme Court has heard an historic case of an emotionally charged issue, and a ruling is expected in June. It's a challenge of Proposition 8, California's voter-approved ban of same-sex marriage. Attorney David Boyce argued on behalf of gay unions.
It's been a long journey here for the last 3.5 years, and I think we're all greatly encouraged that we are within a few months of a final decision on this terribly important case.
Willie Drake, a Baptist minister, is on the other side.
The Bible says one man, one woman, till death do us part, period. No exceptions. I believe God is going to answer our prayer and protect marriage in America.
Tomorrow, the justices will hear an appeal of a federal law which denies some benefits to gay couples who are legally wed. An Italian court has ordered a new trial for Amanda Knox. The American college student was acquitted, along with her Italian ex-boyfriend, of murdering her roommate.
Many hear about this turnabout and say it's unfair. It's double jeopardy, violates the American rule anyway, that says you cannot be tried twice for the same offense. Italians might answer that it isn't so much a second trial, it's simply an appellate review of a previous order.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks. The governor of North Dakota signed two bills which give that state the strictest abortion laws in the nation. One bans terminations if a fetal heartbeat can be detected. The other bans abortions based on genetic defects. New home sales dropped last month, but the National Association of Home Builders says followed a big jump the month before.
We're doing exactly what we'd expected to do. We're still a long way off from a normal level, probably only halfway back.
David Crow is the association's chief economist. The latest Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index, meanwhile, shows a jump of almost 8% from last year in most metropolitan markets. The Dow is up 77 points, NASDAQ ahead 7. This is ABC News.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle was safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
I need to protect my company's email.
Do you want an email security solution that's hard to install?
No.
You good with paying a fee for every user?
No.
How about a little extra for outbound email protection?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall, the world's best-selling business email security gateway, with email encryption and data leak prevention included at no extra cost. Available as a hardware appliance, virtual appliance, or as a cloud service. And always humans to answer your calls. Try the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Most U.S. presidents are hardly what you would call retired when they leave office, and we pay to keep them busy.
The Congressional Research Service reports that the cost to taxpayers to support office operations of former presidents ran nearly $4 million last year, over $1 million for former President Bush's Texas office, just under $1 million for former President Clinton's in Harlem. The costs, including staff, telephone service, and postage to answer mail, has actually dropped in recent years.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. A prominent Egyptian blogger has turned himself into authorities. The country's prosecutor general ordered the arrest of the blogger and four others for allegedly instigating violence with comments posted on social media. The charges stem from clashes between supporters and opponents. President Mohamed Morsi last week, which left 200 people injured. Activists say the charges could signal the start of a wave of arrests of opposition leaders. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors, unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Ever wanted to go on safari? Here's your chance. Get 73% off admission to the African Safari Wildlife Park only on SweetJack.com.
Sweet Jack, now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Well, hello there, good people. This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM, every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so until 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case, came up with an agenda, and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
You're listening to the new home for the Sean Hannity Radio Show, News Talk 600 WSOM.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on iHeartRadio WSOM 600 on your radio dial as well. We are talking to you about what's on our mind and what's on your mind. I brought up several things today. One of them is that, you know, we have the thing about gay marriage. It has hit the Supreme Court, and they have heard the arguments today. And we'll hear about them. Next is the situation with them wanting to raise minimum wage in 314. As soon as I say this, you're going to be coming up. Raising that minimum wage falsely again, and they want to raise that minimum wage and do it for you. You know, the government cares for you, so we're going to take somebody else's money and give it to you. But enough of me now. 314, you're in the air.
Boy, I tell you, I've been listening to some black radio talk stations, one in Atlanta and other places. I ain't never seen so many confused people in all my life on this issue of gay marriage.
That, you know why they're confused?
We ain't confused. We know exactly what we're talking about.
We's talking about.
If it's not. The issue is about states' right to define marriage. It has nothing to do with what you do in your bedroom. Has nothing to do about civil rights. Has nothing to do what's in the Bible. It's about the state's right to define marriage since they issue license, dummies.
Well, give that man a hand clap, Jeff.
look, it doesn't matter, Bianchi. I'm not going for that either because, you know what, that's where marriage originated in the Bible. So,
well, I understand what you're saying, Jeff, but, you know, we have to also realize where we live at. And it's also that same Constitution that gives us a right, and you a right to, you know, worship your God and give you and me a right to argue over from time to time.
Right, right. And that's a good, it's a good thing. It's a good, healthy thing. But now they have shut that down. You're not allowed
to
argue.
They have.
Yeah, you're not allowed to argue over it anymore because – because if I say what I say, Pionkey, you can take me to jail for hate crimes violation.
And why come I'm worried about, you know, your standing? Because when it does hail, when it does snow, when it does drop meteors out the sky, they are not discriminatory. They'll hit me, too.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of that, what do you think about the doggone people in the United States Post Office with this huge commercial talking about get in touch with your state representatives and senators and tell them you want the post office, the state, delivering on Saturday. How much money are they really losing?
Well, they say the people, but you know, I heard another argument. They said that the post office is required to bankroll 75 years worth of pension benefits, and I don't know how true
exactly.
That is.
No, actually, that's very true. That's very true. They have to fully fund those accounts to the tune of
$4 or $5 billion a year that comes out of their operating budget off the top.
Right.
And they say the same thing with the city of Detroit with its public works. That's one of the reasons why it kicks them into this area of red when it comes down to fiscal control.
They're trying to make it be a racial thing, though. You notice that? That's a dog that's going to one day not hunt anymore. And when it doesn't hunt, it's going to be hell to pay for that. You know, because, first of all, black people are whittling down and allowing the leftist people to whittle them down to the point where they're going to be totally insignificant within five years.
Yeah, but you know, on that particular rule, I can understand because cities cannot print money like the federal government do.
Right.
So if you start dealing it around into people's pensions, like you see the federal government dealing around into our Social Security trust fund, then it brings about some irreconcilable ramifications.
Yeah, no doubt. But what are you going to do? Once again, you know, here we are. You have a union holding the public hostage because they're not going to give up. They don't want to give up that one day of work. They don't want to give it up. And I'm saying, I could care less if we go 2 days without getting a delivery of mail.
But, Jeff,
yeah.
Here's the problem. The union was the one that negotiated the whole pension plan in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What is minimum
something?
Wage? What is the federal minimum wage? $7.25 or something like that?
I think so.
$7.25. Well, here's my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
If the Obama administration is so concerned about people who's now being paid minimum wage and minimum wage jobs, this is a solution. Why don't they reduce the federal portion of their income tax by $1.75 to those who are working in those particular categories? Therefore, now they will be earning $9 an hour.
Mm. Say that one more time.
Well, if minimum wage is $7.25 and Obama thinks it should be $9 an hour, fine. Reduce the federal portion of the minimum wage earners' income tax by $1.75 an hour.
Ooh. Ooh.
They already do that, Fiance.
You know why?
Because they get it in the form of an earned income tax credit every year.
Right.
They'll give them some more.
Well, here goes the thing. Then you're sitting up there, and he doesn't have enough revenue to make the proper investments that we need to make in our economy. We need to make investments. And investments are nothing but we need to take more of your money to give out, I ain't going to say that word, and pee away down the drain, okay? Let's put it that way. That's what is happening. Now, I can't justify the last administration because they spent like drunken sailors, but at least they had the reason to spend like drunken sailors because they were trying to balance out the country's economy from the hit we took on 9/11. But nobody is defending that. No Republican is defending what happened, which is totally wearing me out. I can't understand it. I cannot understand it for the life of me. Why aren't you saying, yeah, George Bush could have messed up, but he messed up trying to keep the country going after we got hit by an enemy on 9/11 that almost accomplished their goal? Their goal was to hit us in the legislative. Their goal was to hit us in the executive branch. And the goal was to hit us in our monetary might, which is why it went to New York and flew into both of those towers.
Well, that's a whole different argument, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the things flew into the towers. I mean, I hear the story out there. Somebody came on my website last night on Facebook. You know what, people are listening. If you get on Facebook if you do Facebook, you look me up, Jeff Green. I'm a guy playing a saxophone with a white coat on. You should hear and see the stories that people come up with on these conspiracy theory type of things. And, I mean, they get so far-fetched that you wonder, how in the world can somebody really, you know, really believe this stuff? How can they really believe it? And it's and it defies your reality, just totally. And so I'm wondering, what in the world do you really think happens in America? No bid contracts with Halliburton.
I don't argue no passports being not burnt. I don't argue no phone calls. I don't argue no holes in the ground in New Jersey or holes in the side of the Pentagon. But I do argue, based on my almost four decades of putting those things up, that the reason they gave is not the reason. And that's the extent of my comment on that today.
Well, I can give you plausible that the building was rigged to go up before it happened, and which would be sort of easy to do if somebody wanted to sneak into a public building like that and set charges in different places in the building. I'm not going to argue that point. It very well could have happened. I don't believe it did, but it could have. But what would we have to do to agree to let somebody do that or to do it ourselves? What could that have possibly accomplished?
Well, it's the same reason they had these pretexts in the past, and it also shows the stupidity of politicians to relate to the people that they're supposed to represent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I can see a reason for it based on past reasons that they gave in order to create things, and that, you know, after four decades, we found out that what we thought was a conspiracy at the time was actually the truth.
Yeah.
Or somewhat true.
Well, especially when we get something like Kennedy, which I never thought Lee Harvey Oswald was the one that killed him.
No,
and
I didn't need it. Well, I did at the time, but now I became more smarter.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I heard what they were saying, but it never registered with me because I don't know whether I was just alert at that age or not, because shoot, I was only in second grade.
And we only had back during them times, we only had a black and white TV, which only accepted a nickel at a time, so the time ran out fast on it.
We didn't have a pay TV, but we certainly I never heard of that one.
You remember them pay telephones that used to have in the hotels?
In the bus station. Bus station in the airport. You used to, in a big city airport anyway.
My airport in the hotels, too.
I don't remember. You know what? All I remember is the shaking beds in the hotel.
they had a paid telephone in the hotel. You had to put like a nickel in there to make a call or something. It wasn't like the ones that hang on the walls. A regular desk phone had a little slot and apparatus on it that permitted you to do that.
Right. Yeah, well, I just remember that one. Oh, man, it is something else to see, because it is we've come so far. But then we've fallen so back in our moral standings, in our foundational standings of what works to keep this nation working. Pelkey, you and I in South Carolina will always find something to do.
You know, another thing that gets me, too, especially because I listen to black radio stations, they're saying that the Constitution is outmoded. It needs to be changed. Well, duh. There's a way that you go about changing it.
Here's the thing. They don't have the faintest idea. This is what bothers me. There may be two people in the audience that know anything about the Constitution to be able to say that. Because only reason why they're saying that is because now King Obama has came out early and said that the Constitution is a troubled document fraught with inconsistencies. That's the only reason why they're saying it's outdated. They don't know anything to say that of themselves for real. I'm sorry. Now I'm dogging my own people in that.
Well, you're supposed to. You tell the truth. The document is one of the most excellent documents when you really get to thinking about it ever been written. It is so small. Why? Because it gives rights to the people.
The people are free under that, but we're getting ready to pay some bills, so we're not free. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Give me a call here at 330-781-9600, local lines, and on our unlimited internet lines, 1-347-945-5229. We'll see you back on the other side of these messages.
Fit Family.
If y'all don't hear me talking, man, I'm eating lunch.
Man, we had 14 inches of snow the other night.
14 inches of snow?
That's what I said.
Man, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I just came in about an hour ago digging my car out. I never seen that much snow in this town this late in the season. Should I say this, you know, this late in the winter season?
Yeah.
But 14 inches. And heavy snow. It tore down my grandson's batting cage.
Goodness. Was there a lot of wind?
No, it was just heavy snow, that heavy, wet snow that sticks and it keeps adding on.
Now, we haven't had that much snow down here in 1973.
Birds was grounded. You know, I've seen it rain so hard that the pigeons got on the ground and got under cars. Well, that was something else.
I would have loved to have seen that now.
Yeah, ain't no kidding. The pigeons. I have a friend of mine who owns a shopping, like a center kind of thing with a lot of retail buildings, and I was parked on it when I couldn't get out the car, and I see all these birds landing, start walking underneath the cars, you know, to get out of the rain.
Wow. Well, it got pretty windy here yesterday.
Hard rain and hell. Today. Yeah, hard rain and hell is what it was.
We just have to deal with the heat. Yep. I just looking at some of this news, man. It's like some of the stuff some of these news agencies put up have nothing to do with what's going on around.
I see where the governor of North Dakota signed a bill into law on abortion.
Oh, yeah. And that's pretty heavy. It's if you got if they can find a fetal heartbeat, you can't abort it. So that's, of course, somebody's going to, appeal it. But how would you like to get a job and have a retirement payment a plan that pays you $423,000 a year.
That's one of those sheriffs down in one of them council members in that one of those cities, isn't it?
Yeah, Alameda, California.
Yeah. I thought that they rescinded it.
Mm-mm. They're trying to. But the problem is with her, she's already grandfathered in. 423,664 divided by 12. That chick making $35,000 a month.
Yeah, that there is completely ridiculous there, man. That's more than congressmen the work make. And you know theirs are ridiculous.
Yep, it's saying here she's going to receive a month $24,000 in equity pay to make sure she makes at least 10% more than anyone else. She gets an annual performance bonus of $24,000 even in retirement. Another $9,000 a year for serving on the county surplus board, and a $54,000 a year longevity pay for having stayed for the county for more than 30 years.
That is totally, totally ridiculous. That's worse than the Nigerians. Their equivalent to congresspersons make $1.7 and $1.4 million, respectively, a year.
Time keeps on slipping into the future, the song says. I love that song. It was a hot song in its day. And so we're here talking to you about what's on our mind, and we're talking about a few things, and I didn't want to go into a lot of things, but I couldn't find the article on Strickland, except it just comes up that they say Strickland was silent on pedophilia. But Strickland wasn't silent because it's in the record of the United States Congress what his position was as far as an older man with a younger boy, that if they had sex, it was not. Always harmful. And I guess that's their view, and that was the view of whoever wrote the article in the New England Journal of Medicine as well, that Strickland referenced when he made this statement. It's really strange to see that we have people that are supposed to be protecting us agreeing with the things that's going to destroy us. Mr. Strickland was not only a politician, but he's a Methodist minister. Now, I was raised Methodist, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know any Methodist that I was raised with that are calling for there to be gay marriage, that are calling for, well, it may be some that are calling for those things, but I don't know. Abortion rights, pro-abortion. They have this one doctor who was no different than a Dr. Mengele from over in Germany, killing up kids left and right, and taught one of his assistants to be the same way. I'm really mad, upset, because the doctor is African-American.
You know what, Jeff? I guess this is not really going to hit home until you do have shown up in the paper of men 55 years old marrying 17-year-old boys.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
And the same with women. And then I wonder what the argument's going to be.
Oh, you know what? This is something else. Like I said, if they decided to name it a civil union, and I had a guy call me yesterday that was really upset about this, and I wish he would call back because I want to hear what he thinks. But see, most people don't believe in this, and probably, you know, it might be you too, Pionki, but they don't believe that certain acts can degrade your society.
Well, I believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear you. But you know what? Hey, we're going to have to go to a quick break right now. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We got to take care of a little technical thing here.
You only been back 2 minutes.
Hey, man, you got to do what I got to do. 2 minutes? Yeah, I let you talk in that time, didn't I?
No, I was trying to save things for you when you came back. You must be making a lot of money, commercial time.
Well, we'll save it, though. We're not making a lot of money, but we got to take care of a technical problem here. Be right
okay.
back after these messages.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the March Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the March Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A Youngstown man charged with rape and other crimes was tossed back in jail after reportedly violating terms of his bond. 34-year-old Newell Spann is accused of making a grocery delivery to the alleged victim's home shortly after he was released from jail. His accuser is a 36-year-old woman he had dated. A Warren man was found stabbed to death yesterday morning. Police say they were dispatched to a home in the northwest part of town to check on the welfare of 49-year-old Dwayne Hickman. Officers found Hickman after they made their way inside the home. He had been stabbed several times. Hickman had a long criminal history. Police said they had no suspects. Verizon Wireless is among several companies that have received approval for job creation tax credits for their proposals in the state of Ohio. The Ohio Tax Credit Authority approved assistance for 13 projects expected to create more than 1,400 jobs and retain close to 3,000 positions. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back. And we're back here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on iHeartRadio, even though somebody said there's a little trouble getting us on iHeart
today.
It's down.
Ours is down. A couple others are down, but we're down.
Oh, okay.
And we'll be back for it'll be a couple days.
Yeehaw.
There's a problem with one of the encoders.
I'm going to say I thought you said there's an eclipse.
No, encoder.
You sure it wasn't something?
Yeah.
I think they're jamming us from D.C.
My mom asked that, and I told her, no, that's not what it was.
I think they're jamming us. Oh, man. But anyway, you know, I was talking to you, two of your favorite people.
Who?
We got Pionki in South Carolina.
Hi, Pionki. Hi, Sal.
What's up?
Hello, Tracy. Hey,
how
Always
are
good
you?
To hear your voice.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
wow.
that.
Wow. She just sounds so excited. What's going on, Tracy?
Man, I'm, you know, I came blowing in here like I was on fire.
That's true.
To get in here to find out they ain't called yet, you know.
It was almost a bull in a china shop moment.
Oh.
Now, if they called with the unlisted number, that could have been. Because we had unlisted stayed in there for about 20 minutes and then.
They were supposed to call it 1:30. 1:30 is not 20 minutes.
Okay, no, that wasn't that long ago. No, they were there much longer. But anyway.
And they didn't say anything?
No, they were an unlisted number.
Oh,
they didn't even push one
sometimes,
to talk.
Sometimes they just listen in.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they can't get on iHeart.
Yeah, dig it. I do understand.
Well, I see these elected officials in some of these cities are trying to come up with all sort of devious means in order to suck another nickel out of taxpayers. In one city, they want to charge a tax on brown paper bags. I'm waiting to see who's going to come up to try to mimic what's going on in Cyprus where they impose a tax on savings deposits.
Yeah. That's a smart one to do. I think they're going to do that one as soon as they can because you guys said that the European Union agreed to something, but I was under the impression it was the IMF. When you guys were talking about that, I thought the IMF had to do with loaning them so much money, but if they took X amount of dollars from the people. Now, that's why we should have never let the feds take over our treasury. We should
Absolutely.
Have never.
And here's the point. When do they ever stop?
Never. They can't get enough of your money because that's all the money they ever make.
So if you got your money, you pay taxes already on money. I mean, money is left over after everything. You put it in the bank, they still want to tax it some more.
Absolutely. Why not? Because if the people won't fight it, then they win. And you have people say, oh, well, I'm just going to go along. I don't want to cause no problems. And then what do?
You know, the whole thing is just screwed up. People are just screwed up.
Totally.
The country is just screwed up. I don't care how you slice it. I'm just telling you, folks, and I've been messing around with stuff all day long. Stuff is just jacked up, and you can't talk to people. And all it does is just infuriate you and make you just...
Raises your stress level.
You know what? And lately, I have been gravitating away from news, and I'm a news junkie. But I'm sort of fed up with the stupidity of it all because I guess I get it so much on Facebook that, you know, that I can't, you know.
Wait a minute. I'm locked out of Facebook.
You got locked out?
No, somebody's hacked into my account.
Oh, you got to change your password.
No. I got to change my – they won't – every time I change my password,
mm-hmm. they find it.
They lock me out completely.
Wow.
I'm having drama. I'm having drama.
They did me like that, too.
This is just overwhelming, just drama. I don't have no money. So why do you want to mess with me?
Well, what they do is somebody who's enrolled in one of these one-click things will send a message to all your friends, and they see your name on there, so they click it, and bingo.
Yeah, that's about right.
But they need to leave me alone because I don't have any money, I don't have anything, and all they need to do is just go away.
They don't care. Crazy, you're sitting up here trying to tell somebody what's up.
You got money.
Nobody wants to...
You got, you know, the feds control everything, and they're just oblivious. bureaucracy is just nuts. You call the bank and they send you into, you know, automation abyss.
Press one if you don't want to talk to this person. Press two.
No, the first one is, do you want to speak English?
Yeah.
I want to talk to a person.
And they won't give you a chance. Wait a minute. They don't even give you a chance to say yes or no.
I'm not going for that one. The minute I get straightened around, I'm leaving my one bank. Because when I call into the automated service to get my account information, it asks me, well, good afternoon to the such-and-such bank. Press one for English. No, you talk on there with a Spanish accent and ask the Spanish people to press one for Spanish. But you tell it in English. You don't make me have to choose English. I'm in America.
Listen to this. Do you know how many devices that you have all this mess on now?
Yes.
You got tablets, phones, Facebook, computers. When you go to work, when you come out of work, do you really understand that this is a mess? And my guest didn't call in, so y'all are just
calling y'all. A hot A mess. That's, there you go. Hot A. So, anyway.
What?
Quit being angry.
I'm an angry black woman.
You are. We told you that, and you got mad because we told you that you were. Now you're realizing the point. And
I am an angry black woman today. Yeah. Yes, I am. Absolutely.
You always have been, Tracy. Embrace it. P.L. Kim, all right?
Yes, she's right.
You said yes, she's right.
Am I always angry, Pionk? I'm never angry. I
Welcome
never have.
You sound like you're stressed out sometimes, Tracy.
Today, I'm just Tracy. Upset. Yes, South Carolina.
Welcome to the dark side.
Well, today I have a dark side because I am in the middle of. You have to have all this mess for advancement, but then they mess with you. I feel like the guy in Joe Pesci in
Goodfellas.
No, when he was with Danny Glover and Mel.
Oh yeah, he getting no respect.
You get nah, not getting no respect.
What was that? Die Hard.
You.
Die Hard.
Not is it Die Hard? No.
Lethal weapon. No,
he said when they always mess with you. They just do it to mess with you.
anyway, Priyanki, she needs you to come up here, take her out, like, you know, during the day, and buy her a massage, because she ain't going to let you touch it now. Huh? But you buy her a massage and then take out the dinner and stuff like that.
I sent her some of these 14 inches of snow we got the other day. She can have all that she wants.
You can keep the snow and all of that. And the number 347-945-5229. I had a guest scheduled, and it looks as though he was supposed to call in, and I don't hear from him right now. So we're on our own. His name is Darren Smith, and he's a blogger, and he does some real fascinating blogs. And I wanted to have a conversation with him about it.
What's his blog? Yeah, I mean,
DarrenSmith.com. DarrenSmith.com. And he does some real fascinating stuff. And I wanted to have a conversation with him about it. Thought it would make a very good good dialogue. But you never know. He's probably trying to get into Facebook, too.
like I said, they didn't lock me out.
They didn't lock me out. Something is—it's—it's—it's—it's—they've either hacked it or something, and I can't overwhelm the hassle. They want me to pay $69 for somebody to come in and take over my system to unhack it, whatever
right.
that means.
Right. I'm looking. Okay, so this is how you can put your own page up, huh?
What are you talking about?
I went to his blog.
I have a question. Do you guys notice that there is more stuff that is cumbersome now than ever before, and the more they come up with, the more you have to know, and the more you have to do.
You have to do. You can't do nothing easy.
Have you ever found that out yet?
It's Ike and Tina Turner.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing.
You have to take
nothing.
Time to learn how to use it.
I mean, by the time you figure it out, they change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am an angry black woman today. I am. I just want you to know that. I love you all.
He's from Brazil.
Well, Jeff, what happened to the what's on the Tea Party's agenda? Are they still viable or what?
I would say this to you, that I don't think the Tea Party is going anywhere, but the problem is, with something Tracy was reiterated yesterday, is that they're not well organized. And as a result, they have pockets of success and pockets of getting the tar whipped out of them. So,
well, I tell you what, though, I was talking to some of my Tea Party buddies down in the Lone Star Tea Party down in Texas. They've got their organization pretty well put together down there.
No, listen to what I'm saying, South Carolina. They're organized within their own nucleus. But you can't impact change on a national scale unless you're organized completely across the board throughout every state. And that's where the link is missing. Everybody's singing the same song, saying it the same way, but there's no organized structure from state to state. Because
right.
Every state has its own separate rules.
Well,
right.
Well, one of the things you run into is you got Tea Party Patriots, you got TeaParty.org, you got Tea Party Express, and Tea Party, you know, this, Tea Party that. And on the national level, there seems to be some fighting going on. I don't know if you know that. There seems to be some fighting amongst the leadership in the Tea Party. The worst thing they could have done was accept that money that they accepted.
See, you can't function without cash. Cash still is key.
You can't function without cash. However, where your cash is coming from makes you obligated to.
But again, anytime you give me any type of money, there is still, no matter whether you like it or not. You can't go out and have a steak dinner three nights in a row and not think he's not going to want your time.
Well, you know, the Tea Party really was bombarded with a lot of false accusations, too.
That's true, too. But Jeff and I disagreed on yesterday. I think man is inherently evil. And so when you give him power and you put him into a position, if you don't know how to control the power that you have given him, where you have influence over that power, he will ultimately let the power go to his head.
I mean, Tracy, that's always possible, and there's a lot of people that can happen to.
I've never seen a person that it didn't.
Oh, I have. Ooh. I mean, my God. I mean, there's plenty of people that the power didn't go to their head.
Have you seen a person's ego before?
I've seen all kind of people's egos, yeah.
And do you know it multiplies when you get power and money?
Yes.
And it will consume you if it's not regulated.
Well, if it's not regulated, you just said it.
But most people don't. But the regulator doesn't come from the inward, it comes from the outward.
No, that's not so. The regulator must be on the inward.
We ain't talking about folks that's born again. We're talking about
politics. I'm talking about anybody.
Right.
You have to possess patience. In the Old Testament, when you get all of the scriptures on Ecclesiastics and Proverbs, things like that, that's talking. They're giving you things as building blocks.
We know that it's building blocks, but if you don't have a regulator to regulate your ego will consume you.
It can consume.
I have never seen a person without having a regulator not be consumed.
Well, no, you keep saying that, a person without having a regulator. That is true.
But the regulator does not come from the inner being; it comes from the external accountability.
I totally disagree.
And then your own personal, and I may be wrong, but your own personal. Your own personality will help you become more accountable. But a person that has no type of accountability from the outside will go run amok.
What affected Kwame Kilpatrick, from the inner or the outer?
He had none. Absolutely none at all. He should have never been there. He should have never been there. He was given that. He was handed something that he was not prepared for, nor was he trained for it. You got to understand, all they did was give a wild boy a lot of money and a lot of power.
The thing is, this is what I'm going to say.
And it manifested.
Money and power will do one thing. It'll magnify
who you already are. But you still have to have accountability.
If I was a billionaire tonight, I would not change.
Yes, you would. Because
no.
You would change because I would change. Yes.
What do you mean you would change?
You have to understand when people gain wealth and when they gain prominence,
yeah.
It's not necessarily that you that changes, but people around you change. And because of me, you will have to change.
Why?
Because I will change. I will treat you differently, and you would have to adapt to how I treat you. You can ask anyone who accumulates
wealth. I wouldn't have a problem. But
you might not have a problem, but I will. And you're going to have
Why would you have a problem? You'd be okay.
But because it's just how the nature of man is.
I disagree because that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's not crazy.
If he became a billionaire, you definitely would have to cut loose some of your homies.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't have homies.
But even some of your family members, they're going to change on
you. Like I said, I don't have homies.
Hold on, listen. I got a couple of calls. 801, you got a thing going on in the background. I can't hear. 406, your mic is on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Gwen. How's
hey, Gwen,
everybody?
How are you?
When you hit on that Facebook, I went ballistic. Tried to cut me out, sent me warnings.
See what I'm saying?
They sent me warnings. If you don't stop sending to folks that you don't know, how you know I don't know them? You know?
Because the people tell them that
happens,
they don't know you.
No. See, what happens is I didn't send the emails out anyhow. You know how you go to do something, they tell, and next thing you know, you join up like LinkedIn. LinkedIn went into all of my email and sent it out. I didn't send it out. So, you know, why are you blaming me? How do we get back at Facebook administrators or whoever they are?
I'm trying to find them. Don't think I'm not. I'm hunting these people down. I promise you I'm hunting them down.
Well, you can't because they're billionaires.
Why are you up in my business? There's people that call, you know, sent me emails and things and send me stuff. And, I mean, all the way from Africa, China, and whatnot, because I'm affiliated with them. They sent up there, you are no longer allowed to get this email. I'm like, what? You know, this Facebook thing. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you. I'm going to find their home number. I'm going to find Zuckerberg's home number.
Well,
hey,
I don't like that.
And that's just too invasive. You know, you got too much control. You're watching all my stuff when there's people out here you should be watching and not my poor behind. You know what I'm saying? Broke behind. But anyhow, now you're just talking about money changing. I'll give you an example. Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy's got his same old mansion. And Jimmy don't let anybody change him.
But the people change, and that makes you change in your inner circle. It just does.
I mean, you can change your inner circle, but you do not have to stop being you, Tracy.
Okay.
Well,
you,
Jimmy didn't
you might get subject
him,
to
I admire that.
That
old man.
Okay.
But
the Lord give him more years.
I've had this conversation. It's kind of hard for me to go shopping with Gwen when she and I used to run together.
Okay.
Yes.
She and I used to, you know, we used to go shopping every Saturday. I get an influx of cash, so my shopping pattern now changes.
Okay.
It's very difficult for me to go shopping with Gwen every Saturday.
That may be, but that does not change you.
Hold on.
We cannot, negate the fact that, yes, there are the majority that do change. But then there's that sweet little minute bunch of people that don't. So
very
we can't
few.
Say everybody changed, but the majority will. And you're right about that. Because you could know them when they was a crackhead. They don't got to be a bishop. They don't know you.
Well, no, that's
true.
That's
a whole different
case. And
there.
I understand that.
Are you following?
And that is a whole different thing.
Are you, wait a minute. They ain't even got no money.
That's a whole different thing.
What's different?
A huge
but
change.
But like
huge.
Like the guy that won. Like the guy that won the $300 million in the Powerball, he's going to have to change because of a security risk. You can't all of a sudden become a billionaire and walking around the same neighborhood or living in the same house.
Yeah,
he changes. Hold on just a second. Hey, Darren, is that you at 801?
Remember, Mr.
Hold on, Gwen. 801, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thank you.
I'm Darren Smith. This is the gentleman who I had scheduled for 1:30. I found him. It took me a minute. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm sorry. I've got a lot of things juggling. It slipped my mind, so please forgive me. Hope you're calling, too.
That's all right. I'll just talk about you really bad. But Darren, tell people what do you do, because I found him as a blogger. And he writes some really interesting topics inside of, you go to Darren, D-A-R-R-O-N, last name Smith. Is it .com?
That's correct.
Yes, .com. And you, he says a lot of things on race and the existence of blacks and African Americans and political and sports, and you might want to check him out. Darren, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to start writing about stuff on this order and political writing.
It's a part of my academic area of focus. That's the first thing. Secondly, it's my lived reality as a black man. So I'm trying to better understand my experience as being black and African American, as being black and as being a male, and put it in a way where readers can understand that that experience is complicated, it's messy, it's not a pretty history, to hopefully educate folks to wake up and smell the roses and recognize they got to take that blue pill so they can wake up from reality and know America for what she really is. And she's nothing, she's certainly not a democracy. You know, she may have democratic impulses, but she's certainly not a democracy. And how that's impacted upon the black experience in terms of our ability as a people to rise above the horrible circumstances that were laid before us. So that's kind of what I try to do in my everyday life, and that's what I do certainly when I blog.
What area are you from?
I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and then shortly thereafter moved to Los Angeles. And so I've been bouncing back and forth between the two.
Now, the difference between Nashville, Tennessee, and Los Angeles is really, really huge.
There's a chasm. There's a chasm there, actually.
Yes.
Tell me the differences between a black man in Tennessee and a black man in on the West Coast. Because
Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, I've lived in Los Angeles, and I live here now in Ohio. And I want to hear it from a black man's perspective on the differences and how you have to change between each locale so that we can build from there.
Sure. The differences are rooted in the historical experiences that blacks have had within a region. So we know the experience that blacks have had in the South. That was laid down 400-some-odd years ago. So that relationship is still very much alive. I'm focusing on the South now to give your callers and listeners a brief history lesson. Hopefully they already know this. But in the South, obviously, there were some labor issues. There were stolen labor as well as a land theft that led to the exploitation of black people in the South. And that was a complete exploitative system that lasted for, 265 years of chattel slavery, followed by 90 years to 100 years of Jim Crow. So African Americans have never had time to fully recover in the South because of white supremacy and the ingrained political systems there that privilege whites, and not just in the South but all over the country. But if we focus on the South, we can see clear evidence of that in history. So as a black man there, and of course that's the historical overview, the cultural overview of the South, as you probably know, is one of suspicion, one of mistrust, lack of opportunities, lack of jobs, increased obesity, increased incidences of heart disease, diabetes, all the bad stuff that usually kills folks. African Americans in the South are disproportionately affected by those things, which are a legacy of slavery and a legacy of Jim Crow. So when I'm in the South as a black man, people look at me very differently than they do in the West. Although what we share in common in L.A. or what we share in common in Tennessee, and where I'm right currently as I'm in Memphis, is a history of oppression. How we interpret that history is region-specific. If you grew up in L.A., how you might see it might be very different than how you grew up in the South. But make no mistake, the experiences of marginalization are just as real in the L.A. basin as it would be in Memphis. But those experiences are very different. African-American men are still stereotyped and still constructed as the criminal other, the sexualized other, the predator. That's never changed, regardless of where you are. But there seems to be some freedoms that African Americans have in the West that they don't seem to have in the South. And those tend to be, at times, better job opportunities, increased opportunities for employment, for instance. Better systems, a greater statewide social network that California has versus the South in terms of what it does for its citizens there. And don't get it twisted, which ain't a whole lot, but they tend to do a lot more than folks in the South who are living on Section 8 housing, for instance, or who are living below the federal standard of poverty. So there's a difference. There's a qualitative difference of that experience between the South and the West. There's also a economic difference between the relationship between the two locales. And the same thing would be true in Ohio or any other place in the country.
Now, let me ask you this, and I want you guys, the people on the line, to jump in. But let me ask you about this, because, see, in 2013, we think that we're in a post-racial society, and my audience is very diverse, so that you know that. There are some people who can assimilate and some people that cannot. And somehow our young people have bought into the racism that they really have not experienced. And because they've bought into the racism that they have not experienced, they have limited their own selves instead of making it to where they start overcoming and becoming better. Especially when it comes to young black men. Because we have, as South Carolina has always said, we have feminized our men to where we are in a masculine-female society. And then we talk about racism because we tend to think that black women are advancing and black men are limited. And in our own communities, we're using race as an excuse when education is still free.
Go ahead. Okay. Let me say this. I kind of tell me if this is sort of like what you're saying, Doc, and that is that black people, they have gone through so many different things that they're sort of like tired out, because when we got out of slavery, we went directly into Jim Crow and the black codes. And when we started rising above that, we opened up, you know, a facet of us was able to go out to California and create Black Wall Street. And then we were bombed from that. Then we were discriminated in the revitalization of America as we further industrialized, not allowed to work in certain places till we did get, the affirmative action thing, but the affirmative action was purposely used wrongly so as to create the thing that they're not qualified anyway, and they shouldn't be here in the first place.
But, Jeff, this is my question.
Because I
asked a question that was not a statement. My question is, the generation of today,
yeah,
most of these young people have not experienced the racism that my mother has experienced.
No, not that racism.
Hold on.
But they still
the racism of me, they have not experienced the racism today. If you look at our young people today, they are not capitalizing and becoming better.
Mm-mm.
And my question to you is, and this is my question, how can they be tired when they've never experienced any of the racism that we've experienced? Because our parents, they went through some stuff that I don't know if I could handle.
They have experienced it on another level, Tracy.
Hold on, Gwen. I want Darren to answer that because he does a lot of writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that your opinion is any more important than mine, mind you. But I do want to press upon you. I think the last person who was speaking raised a very good point. I want to sort of jump on the back of her. That this idea of racism as a stoic, monolithic phenomena is misguided. Racism is an evolving structure. It never stays the same. And so what it looked like in the 1940s, for instance, which we know from survey data, mm-hmm. that race in the 1940s was much more about biological notions of inferiority, right? The blacks had a third muscle, they can run faster, all of this sort of scientific racism that was very much alive around the 1940s. So you see an evolution or a change of racial attitudes from the 40s to the 60s and the 70s as a result of the civil rights movement. If the civil rights movement has done anything to help alleviate the suffering of black people from a psychological perspective, it's given white people, at least liberal whites, this fear of being labeled a racist. That's about the only thing I can see that good that came out of it, because the laws sure aren't enforced. We got great civil rights laws, but we won't enforce them. So if you look at each preceding generation, what you'll see is you'll see a shifting of racial ideology, a shifting of racial attitudes about blackness and about what it means to be black in a white society. Now, what you're talking about, Tracy, has to do with this newer generation known as the millennial generation. This
right.
is the generation of technology. These are people who are Twitterers, Facebookers, Tumblrs, and all these other social media sites. These are young people who are largely detached from the kinds of relationships that you and I had and your guests have had to endure as adults growing up in a former generation where human interaction was still very important. So today, most young people don't see racism. They don't see the evidence of it. Like, it's not overt as it was in the 40s or the 60s. And there's isolated incidences of racism that get sort of played out in popular media. But they don't understand the everyday reality of racism, which I believe your last speaker was trying to indicate, that education, housing, the very things that your mom had to experience and mine had to experience and others, right? Most young people are detached from that. And that's not necessarily their fault. It's the system that we live in. We don't teach them about our history. They don't learn that stuff until they get to college, if they even get to college, and if they even take a course that deals with it. So there is, in my opinion, a conspiracy to keep revisionist history or quote-unquote true American history out of public education. So we can continue to whiten it, thus creating the perception in young people that it no longer exists as a problem.
Right, till they have a problem. And then we go, uh-oh, I got a problem.
But I'm looking at, if we're not teaching it, and that goes back to Jeff, if we're not teaching it, and if we're not expanding on it, because when I look at my young people who will not embrace education, even the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, the fundamentals of education, which is the new civil rights. Because if we don't think that education is not the new civil rights, if we don't pay attention to being locked out because we don't know anything, so information is being not hidden from us, but hidden from us in plain view.
But Tracy, we're going back to the same thing you're talking about. They don't embrace the same thing, and they don't know. They don't know because we were brought up and we were taught in our homes that, you know, we had to stick together and that there was a problem out here. Okay.
But Gwen, I'm going back. See, my problem with this, the racism issue is racism is there.
It's there.
But calling your mama a bitch is not racism.
Trying to.
Gwen, you didn't hear me. Calling your mama a bitch is not racism.
But it's a result.
How is that a result?
Okay, this is how it's a result.
Back to the same thing, Tracy. If they're not taught that, what they see as racism is driving while black. Okay, they get pulled over. Hey, this is a big thing when it happens to them. When housing have bed bugs and all that stuff in it, and they can't get any kind of resolution to it, then they go NAACP. Well, we're not funded. You know what I'm saying? So the powers that be that used to be there intact for our young people and for our people, period, they have systematically been dismantled.
But they've been dismantled by our own people.
By our own moves.
Y'all acting like that's a mystery, though. And it's not a mystery. It's a part of how white supremacy works. But part of white supremacy is not only is it a material and economic deterrent from group uplift, but it's also a psychological poison for black folks. And partly what you're seeing is black people identifying or adopting these notions of what it means to be black in a white world. They're redefining what it means to be black, or they're flipping the script, so to speak. So this is not necessarily a function of our people being, I don't completely blame black America for this. I blame white supremacy for this.
Well, absolutely. Let me interject that you're absolutely correct, and that's where my point is. I think that the whole thing is a conspiracy because of one thing. I think they have demoralized the black people to a point to where we don't do what we used to do for our own safety. I was raised to not go get in trouble in the wrong place because I would either get killed or you know, I was going to be the first one to go to jail, or this, that, and other, if something happened. I was raised with that fear and respect. Well, my daughter doesn't have to be raised with that respect, but I tell her about it. And my niece and nephews, I tell them, you know, how things were and how things did. You know, you have to do that because they don't realize that the reason why that drugs are running through our neighborhood is that white supremacists are using black people, even the black preachers, to make it happen.
But now,
that's right. And the
Gwen, hold up. But when you talk about white supremacy, let's get real here. They blame the Republican Party for it.
Yeah.
But they don't control where they live.
That's because the people that are doing it aren't the Republican Party.
But they're blamed for it.
I know, but it's the people that they vote for all the time.
They're in every major populace across the country.
It's
that
not
you have a large urban population who's in poverty. You will find them all unbalanced when it comes to their political system. Am I wrong?
You know, what's interesting in that remark is that you're right and you're wrong. You're right in the sense that the Republican Party of today is the far-right element that was essentially voted into office during the 1960s. During the 1964, most Republicans were liberal Republicans and actually supported civil rights and human equality, believe it or not. I mean, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true.
No, it's not true, sir. And let me clarify why it's not true. First of all, who was the last president that made laws for civil rights in America?
John F. Kennedy?
No, sir.
Nixon.
Richard M. Nixon.
Let me say this real quick. Is it okay if I remark on it? Here's the reality of it. John F. Kennedy was not the least bit interested in civil rights.
No.
Okay.
But he
was responsible for writing most of the civil rights laws that we have today. But he was reluctant to push those laws through.
He didn't write those laws. Those laws came from the outside, and then remember, he didn't sign them, and Johnson did, but Johnson did for control.
No, you're missing one whole aspect. 6 years before, up under General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, that same law was made, and all they did, that him and Johnson destroyed that law single-handedly. Those two destroyed civil rights. And then in 63, 62, they brought that same thing back up because they were going into that war and they had to do something to take
ease
the tensions with the race riots. And they brought that same law back up and they said, Johnson said, we'll lose the South, but them N-words will vote for us for the next 100 years. And that's what they did. They put that law in place and then they controlled you ever since. You have not been out from under the thumb of the Democrat Party, and they never give you anything. They give you nothing. You're wiping out your own population when there's 37% of the abortions that happened from 12% of the population, which is black. So we're killing ourselves off at three times the rate of everybody else, just like Margaret Sanger wanted us to do. So we have done this to ourselves through the leading of this party that we think is for us, and it is not.
And see, Darren, my issue is instead of us being independent and getting what we want sitting at the table, even in how we, and I want you to chime in on this, even how we engage President Obama, we don't get what we want for what we gave.
What do y'all expect a man to do?
Oh, if he can take care of the Dream Act, if he can take care of gay rights, because baby, gay rights is on the forefront and on the fast track because of him.
Well. Let me say this. What do y'all expect? Now, I'm saying this not as a point of antagonism, but as a rhetorical question. What do you expect him to do? He's going to do just like everybody else did because the presidency is an institution.
I'm saying he is not going to
take the bullet for us.
But my question is.
But we're not. You got to understand, when he first ran, I was screaming and hollering and telling people they need to get what they want because he's now an institution. Now he became my favorite cousin and my favorite boo. And then the next 4 years later, he did absolutely nothing. Unemployment skyrocketed in the black community. Nothing was infused in the black community across the country. And
well,
at the end of the day, if you look at the reason why he won in 2008, but absolutely in 2012, was a misinformation and underinformation about voter suppression in the electoral college areas of the states. And that were swing states like Ohio, which is absolutely completely a lie. And we still get nothing for it. He still doesn't want to meet with the Congressional Black Caucus. He's still not doing anything for the overwhelming 98% of support that he got that overshot the whole state. And at the end of the day, we call it racism. We call it, that is structured racism. This is what's happening to us. We've got, white supremacy, and this is what's going on. But when I look at the faces of the white supremacists, they all are in blackface.
Blacks are blacks participate in the system. You can't expect them not to. Blacks don't live in a vacuum. So, particularly middle class blacks who engage with the white people on a day to day basis. And so, I don't dispute anything you're saying, and I certainly don't dispute the discussion we had about the Republican Party. My only point to that was that the Republican Party covers the gamut. People tend to think that Republicans are monolithic, but they're not monolithic. They have factions within the party, and the faction that currently rules today is the conservative right wing. There seems to be a movement back to the left, or a little bit back to the left, because they have to somehow ingratiate folks like you and I. We know they ain't gonna do that, but Latinos seems to be on their radar to try to get Latinos to vote overwhelmingly or proportionately for Republicans.
But you're incorrect. My problem, what I'm saying to you is, we would like to embrace the African American community, but African Americans have now completely dismissed everything that has an R behind its name. I don't care if Jesus comes back. They're not going to support him because he comes as a Republican. But if you don't kiss the Democrat ring, you don't get in. And we watch them marginalize, and we watch them split the vote, especially on the local level. In the state of Ohio, you have not had an African-American elected statewide
Democrat.
They, as a matter of fact, they will not even appoint a Democrat in the areas that are African-Americans. If you want to get an African-American who's a Democrat appointed, you've got to get it from a Republican governor.
Wow.
And that's the key. It's stark. It's so stark, Doctor. The party is not the same as what you said. The far right wing is more or less is dismissive of black people than it is out to get them. But the Democrat Party, puts stumbling blocks right in front of you. Then they get you excited about what a Republican might be doing, and then you go and those Republicans, they're no good. And then they go vote for the Democrat, and guess what? You get just what you got the first 4 years is the same thing you're going to get the second 4 years. Give me one doggone enterprise zone in my neighborhood. Give me that. Give me some economic tools so I can become independent economically of being poor and getting handouts. I don't want handouts.
Right.
I want the ability to play in the system that I keep getting blocked from because the banks won't loan to me because my face is the wrong color. And because I might live in the wrong neighborhood, they won't let me get a nice house. I gotta stay in neighborhoods that I'm relegated to unless I already have made it past a certain economic threshold.
Then I've got to do it on my own.
I got to do it myself, or it's not going to get done.
I feel you. No. I've heard some incredible remarks. That remark was the most honest one I've heard. And I think the most consistent with what I know about white supremacy as a system and what I know about the struggles of black America. So I applaud you, my sister, for that wonderful analysis.
But that was me that did the brother that made that analysis. But here's the thing I'm telling you. Those aren't Republicans doing that.
That's Democrats.
That's the Democrats.
And see,
they own the controller in a city. the banks, the everything.
I mean, and if you go over to Detroit, look at what's going on there. But look at what they did. You can't blame Kwame Kilpatrick for stealing all the money because it was stolen before he got there.
Right.
And so now they put an emergency manager in there because they are absolutely broke. Because they got the money and they raped the system of all of its resources. But they leave that behind because, remember, we weren't smart enough to know how to play inside the system, and they wake up earlier than we do and have a meeting. And we and at the end of the day, when I look at this, we are still stuck going nowhere across the board. And
well,
I read your writings, and I appreciate what you do, and I want to hear a little bit more from you. But I'm going, you know, when I look at systemic racism and when I look at what's going on, yeah, there's racism out there, but we can't blanket the whole of white population as racist when we, in our own communities.
Oh, we can't just think that they're all in the Republican Party either.
In our own communities.
That's the one that really gets
in
me.
Our own communities. We still don't hold anyone who says they look like me accountable for what I do for you.
And Tracy, one of the things that gets me is the fact that, you know, like in between the years of 72 to 84, there was a outcry within the black community about black genocide and what was going on in the abortion arena as it pertaining to black people. Now it's silence. It's just total and complete silence. I found articles from folks like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Julian Bond, you know, and all those folks who were supposed to be leaders in our community. You know, even the NAACP came out and said that abortion was a tantamount to black genocide back in the 1970s, but now they're all silent.
Jesse Jackson used to be a huge proponent of against abortion because he knew what it was and he said it in those days until they started giving him that check.
When I look at this and when I look at our communities across the nation, that's why I asked you initially about black men, because if you look at them, we are getting to the place now that black men are no longer important in our community. And our young black men, because they don't feel an area of worth.
None whatsoever.
And our black women no longer respect them because now they come to the table even more or less educated than they were 10 years ago. So how can I build a community when I've killed the seed?
Well, I know we've talked about racism and we've gone round and round about it. I want to be clear that it's not only racism, but I argue that racism is the larger overarching system that drives all of this. It makes all of this possible when you look at how racism has been made to create wealth, to generate wealth, to put privilege in the hands of whites, all the things that you all mentioned, from the political system to the way in which black people are complicit in that system, the very system which denies and marginalizes them. I hear you, and I understand that, and I feel it, and I agree. I don't disagree. But let's be clear, when we look at the gendered effects of this stuff, how this affects genders, right? Obviously, African-American men were public enemy number one. Black men have always been a threat to white men. They've always, black men, simply because black men were thought that if released from slavery or freed, would one day compete directly against whites. That's why all of these political roadblocks have been placed in some respect to limit black mobility, black opportunity, the very thing that one of your guests was just referring to about how our communities have been stripped of our resources. But we, of course, those resources were stripped long before then. We're talking 400 years now. So
sure.
you cannot dismiss that history. I'm saying that history culminates on top of each other. Now, we talk about, are we free as African-Americans? Yeah, well, symbolically we're free, but
mm-hmm.
we still exist within a yoke of oppressive structures, and you've all have named several of them today, gender being one of them. So if we want to empower black men, and someone said this already, and I want to just reiterate what that individual said, we have to give people access to decent jobs, decent education, affordable housing, health care, neighborhood with parks in it, you know, and a reason to want to live and exist in an otherwise democracy.
How do I do that? How do I do that when I'm controlled by?
I still say we put too much emphasis on racism. Racism is not a problem today. I mean, blacks contributed today on demise. You know, you're closing 40 schools in Philadelphia County, Pennsylvania. In 2008, black women aborted 18,000 babies. Duh, 5 years later, they're supposed to be entering the elementary school. So nobody made that happen. And then you look at these other black ethnic groups that come to this country, and they do very well economically.
That should tell you something.
What do you think, Darren?
African-American Negro,
I'm going to pull you in. Hold up. Darren, what do you think about that?
I disagree with you, caller. I disagree with you. I think that there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things at work that perhaps you haven't considered when talking about why we spend so much time fixating on racism. You need to look at the data, sir. Look at the data on educational opportunities for blacks and whites. Look, and if you control for class, you still see disparities in educational outcomes for blacks. Look at the healthcare data. I'm talking about systemic. Hold on 1 second, folks.
Police pulling him over. being profiled.
Really? That was the FBI agent who was calling me about y'all, so I had to take your call real quick. But anyway, what I'm drawing on are larger macro structural issues that affect our community. When you compare our community and certain demographic indicators to whites, and you control for class, you see disparities in black outcomes. When you control for class related indicators. So,
Darren,
what other? Yes.
Question. I agree with you on some areas of this. I do.
Oh, I agree.
But this is my issue. I watched the Trayvon Martin thing.
Right.
And Trayvon Martin, I was not as incensed as other people across the nation with it, because it happens in my community all the time. So,
right.
You know, and it's black on black or white on black, I really don't care. It's another kid gone. I got family members that have their blood in the streets that are now pushing up daisies because of black on black crime. And I've been screaming about it since the 1980s. My concern is, if we can organize the way we do, and you've watched us do this, how is it that we cannot organize to push legislation? See, I have a problem with that. See, there's no reason for us to have a million hoodies and eat a bunch of Skittles and a bunch of tea, and not put that money into a fund to move legislation to make sure that what we need to have done is done.
Do you understand that, Darren?
I do.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I watch the people who have the bully pulpit, like the Sharptons, like the, you know, like the Jesse Jacksons, like the Allen West, all them people. You know, I watch Bobby, you know, the Congressman Bobby, I can't think of his last name, with the hoodie on in Congress. Yet we understand how the wheels of this system work. But when it comes down to making sure that our young people understand that we're going to change the laws and we're going to change the way things happen and we're going to initiate systemic changes, when you call it supremacy or whether you call it racism or whether you just call it ignorance,
mm-hmm.
We have the mechanisms to make it happen. But when we have when we get the car, we won't put the gas in it.
I'd like to ask a question. Throw a question out here. Why is it that even somebody like Charlie Rangel, as long as he's been in Congress, has no real power?
They took that from him.
But I'm saying he didn't have it. He doesn't have it.
The reason why they took it from him.
What about people in power that funds the KKK and all of these undesirable things?
Say that again. Say that again, Gwen.
There are, and they are known. You can go on the internet and look at it. We have senators for years have sat up there
and they make sure that the KKK and all of them are funded, and they are KKK. And these are people that are running our government.
Well, I don't blame
them. Remember when Graves was here, who was fighting against AIDS, found out that there's a entity in our system that spends money for undesirables. They come up with all kinds of stuff that's supposed to target the undesirables. But then when it got in their neighborhoods and AIDS and all of that, we had a problem.
But see, you know what, listen, Gwen, this is the issue. And
it's a man-made disease.
But hold on, Gwen, we understand. And whether it be man, I remember I talked to you last night, Darren, last night I was at a meeting. And we have something called charter schools here in the state of Ohio. And the state department, the state legislators allowed one entity to actually write the law for the community schools or charter schools in our state. And when I was a board member, we were having a problem with how it was raping the school districts of funding. And because it was an inner city and it was a black thing, and it was inner city, and I'm not going to call it black, but because it was inner city, which means you know what that means. No one cared about when we were losing $2 and $3 million a year when it first started.
I was there.
I know you were there, Rob, Gwen. Now that it has moved into the suburban areas, now they got a fire on their hands, and now they hate everybody that's around it.
Well, it's Tracy. Charter schools and schools of choice is a viable thing.
No, you missed the point.
I understand what you're saying. Out in the county and people are starting to move out of traditional
schools.
No,
that's not what I'm talking about.
Let me explain
a little bit better. We have schools who are not competing academically as strong at the level as the public school. So you're going from one school in academic emergency to one school that's on life support getting ready to die. And instead of them closing the school down and holding them accountable for the academics inside the school, they just let them skate and then change it over to another one and still take the money out the public school.
Well, that ain't the day's responsibility. That's the parents' and the stakeholders' responsibility to make sure that things are going accordingly in these schools.
You missed my point. They have roughshodded over the whole system.
They control you because you allow Washington, D.C. to run your school system.
And the state, because it should not have happened the way that it did.
And the way Washington, D.C. control your school system with an influx of about 18% of the school budget. The state's by 35%. So it gets back to the same – well, it's not entirely. But you have to be able to afford to pay for your own. You have to have viable communities that's economically sound within black communities. You can't have all these outside interests. Like now they got this one company from France that's want to come in and control the water works in these cities and put local people out of the jobs. That's totally ridiculous.
Well, it's not going to be ridiculous because they're going to be able to save money doing it. And let's face it, the bottom line is government just keeps on eating and eating and eating more of your money, and they're not going to have any money to eat from anymore pretty soon. They're going to run out of other people's money.
Alex, you got any input?
You know, the only thing I'd say is I think that the solution to any of these problems is is the uncomfortable thing that nobody wants to do, and that is really really set up our own shop and stop asking to letting other people shop them. Because the whole Trayvon Martin thing, that happened right here with me, right outside of Orlando. Sanford, Florida is a suburb of Orlando, a northern suburb of Orlando, where Trayvon Martin was shot. And they had all these rallies and all this stuff. And I have people that were, you know, they were about to cuss me out because I wasn't having it. I wasn't about to go to these rallies and put on no stupid hoodie and all that stuff. And my solution was this. I was like, all right, if you really want to do something really serious about this, then you need to mimic what they do in Eatonville, because Eatonville is like the first African-American municipality is also here in Orlando. This is what you
Eatonville
do.
Eatonville and Goldsboro.
Well, the thing about them is they're black and they are absolutely solid financially.
Yeah, right.
And so what I was saying is, if you want to stop this police brutality, if you want to do something about these prosecutors and district attorneys who, you know, turn a blind eye to violence against us and all these systemic issues, then you need to put together a petition so that all the black people in Sanford, you know, Trayvon Martin's community, you petition to create your own municipality. That's the only thing that they're gonna hear, because then what this does is now your tax money does not go into their coffers; it goes into your own.
Absolutely.
And when I was talking about this to people, then it's like, oh, you know, they didn't want to hear about that. I'm like, well, you're really not trying to do anything then. You're just doing the same, you know, just I hate
well,
to,
you know
I don't want
Albert,
to, just moaning. You know, you're
Albert,
just moaning.
Albert Mills. Yeah, you know, blacks did have their own communities there in Sanford County before it was Goldsboro. Read the history
before.
Of Goldsboro. Yeah, and the history, like you, but I'm like this. We talk about these communities that did exist, and we knew back then that the laws were not protecting you like they were, but this is a whole different time. Let's recreate those and put in the mechanisms to protection, and let's go from there.
But see, this, you have to, and I got to take my break. I'll be right back. But you got to have the mindset. If you don't have the mindset to create your own, you can't get, we're having a hard time with people getting the mindset to actually create their own community center, which they already have, and make sure that it stays funded.
But it can't be a party, Tracy. If you're talking about black people, it's got to be everybody. It can't be a party.
We're not talking about party. We're talking about in my own community. I've got two community centers on two different sides of town that have a hard time actually funding their own and being independent.
Right.
Why?
But then we need to come together as one.
But you can't come together with everybody's personal agenda.
Well, that's why we have to have one of those meetings to get rid of the personal agendas.
Yeah, they're not going to do it, though, because here's the thing. Alex, what you were saying, the minute that you bring that up, they're going to stone you. And
well, it doesn't require everybody, neither. It doesn't require everybody. It just requires certain groups that will initiate these things.
Hey, yeah, no, break, I'll be right back.
You know, I wonder what black folks going to do in 2100 when whites are a super minority, not only in this country, but in the world. No white nation will rank in the top 20 populations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying American blacks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like Dr. Clark said, you know, if you, Dr. John Henry Clark, he told us while he was here that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what revolutionary forces come through or who, you know, what group of people come into power. If people do not learn to, you know, do for themselves and, you know, govern themselves and clothe themselves and feed themselves, and you know, then it's going to have the same result regardless. You know, even if no matter what percentage of the population white people are, if we haven't learned to do anything for ourselves, we're still going to stay the
and that's the way other ethnic groups disrespect you also. The one that's running wild in your community today, exploiting the opportunities of increasing their wealth off of your backs.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've pretty much become not only slaves of Europeans or European Americans, but just about everybody. I mean, because everybody comes here, and it's almost like that's the modus operandi in America is exploit the African American. Everybody does it. Koreans, Chinese, Latinos, yeah, gays,
other Africans,
everybody, other Africans. You know,
they take advantage of the things that African born Americans don't qualify for.
use our tools to do it. Everybody jumps on Martin Luther King. Hey, I got it right because he said it. So my thing is, when we have people that we know they're not up to snuff, as the Bible says, you have to, if you see them in a fault, you have to drag them on and restore them. That's what you have to do. Because everybody is not exposed to the intelligence or, you know, the information that you might have or I might have. So then you got to explain it to them. You got to take over. And there's a lot of money spent on making sure that we're divided.
And another point, too, you got to realize that it does not take everyone. Black people should exploit black people. Arabs shouldn't be exploiting black people. Arabs shouldn't be taking advantage of these opportunities and taking the profits and sending it back and over to the Mideast.
You know, is this still Darren, the doctor that I'm talking to?
No, this is Pianki.
Okay, well, anyhow, I want to just interject one thing. Look at, research the information that they have that nobody even addresses when it comes to black people are suffering from the effects of slavery psychologically. I read a lot on this stuff, and it makes sense. We have information where they come up with all kind of tests where babies hear music, babies hear language in the womb. Our kids heard, you can't do this, you better not do that, and, oh, you're going to get hurt. And, you know, this is the stuff that our kids internalize in our womb.
Well, I disagree.
Hear music and have it real good, and, you know, all that little goody-goody stuff that the white women are used to.
I agree that we're suffering from the economical ramifications of slavery, but the psychological ramifications of slavery, I disagree with that. Most of these kids don't even know what the heck that's all about.
Being a mother, I know, but see, when it's in the womb, when it comes out the womb, then you got to address it. You got to nurture that child. You got to tell him that he's somebody. You got to tell her that she's somebody, that she came from queens and kings. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of these children are not getting that.
But in many instances, you know, not to be totally disagreeing from you, in many instances, a lot of that's not true. But heck, the most dangerous place for an African American child is in the womb nowadays.
Listen, let me tell you, when I ran across this, it was in New York. He was caught for stealing and whatever, and they went to prosecute him. He said, I'm not guilty of nothing. I'm suffering from the effects of slavery. And that they went on to proceed to do an article on it, and I looked up some other things. That's when I first even saw that. But as I said, there's a whole gamut of things that is the problem. And they say tentacles and offshoots that sent in from every different direction. When it comes to those agencies up there in Washington that they fund to destroy the undesirables, you understand what I'm saying? There's an entity within our system that does that. So you got these people that belong to the KKK that are rulers. They're making laws and things. Nobody knows this if you don't read and, you know, research stuff. And I think that's abominable.
Well, you can't you know, you had a judge, Warren was a KKK member, and they wanted to impeach him, but he turned out to be the best Supreme Court judge you ever could draw for civil rights.
Well, same with what's his name, Governor Wallace. I was born and raised in Alabama, Birmingham, and he was a dog at first, but after he got shot, he saw, you know, he decided, uh-oh, let me look at some things differently. So everything, you know, in its time. But there are limited.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. I want to thank Darren Smith for calling in and hanging out with me today. He has a blog, and if you want to go and do some reading on his name is D-A-R-R-O-N, and the last name is Smith.
and it is DarrenSmith.com. Everybody has mixed different comments on what they think is inherently wrong, but when I look at the inner cities, when I look at our communities at a large, I believe racism is out there, but I can't blame most things on racism any longer because we have to take ownership and onus of what's going on around us. And the lack of disrespect, the lack of godliness, the lack of the apathy that we have towards ourselves, you know. And I know that it comes from, you know, someone else's opinion, but we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I am somebody. And I was made in the image and likeness of God, and I'm not going to allow any from outside forces to pull me down. Just that simple. And I have major issues.
Well, you know, I wish our experience was truly indeed like that of a board game, whereas we can rake in all the pieces and roll the dice all over again.
You can't. But I mean, seriously, you know, until we put our family structure back together again, because that's what's really missing. You got to understand, if you don't have a man in the house to speak to that male and make him accountable, and make that daughter, you know, accountable for her own self. And teach them in wise decision making, we will have run amok as we do.
Well, I agree with you that on that, Tracy, but you just can't do that on suggestion alone. There's so many components that go along with making that family structure strong. And
oh,
those components
you.
Are missing.
Might I interject here and say this? And it's going to take this, it's going to take the like-minded people that have escaped those things. It is all due to racism. I hate to say that. I understand what you say. We
you
can't
need explain. You need to
I'm
explain.
Getting ready to. I'm getting ready to. You let me continue. It's all due to racism, and this is why. It's because the racism is a social, intricate, inundated, fused throughout our society. And those people haven't left our society. They're still working. They're still in places of positions of power. They're still, look at right here in old Youngstown, Ohio. How is it that the black judgeship had to get ended immediately, that a black person was one of the main foremost people to get ready to be put into that position by the Republican government again? And what happened? That judgeship was killed, and nobody got a chance to go into it. Why did that one get killed?
But Jeff,
that
Jeff,
quickly.
Jeff, let's. I mean, hold it before you. Let me get this out. You are correct, but until the structure, I mean, you're still looking at people who will not support anyone else who wants to support them.
No.
And until that changes, I mean, when you look at the mayor's race coming up.
Look at it.
If you look at what's happening and when you run countywide, if you look at what's happening statewide.
Listen, I agree with you, but my point is we must separate and make people shop our vote. We cannot sit and be a pawn sitting on a table to be used. We are in a chess game and we lost our queen.
But Jeff, you're right. But the problem is, I have a problem because I don't think I'm playing chess. Seriously.
Well, yeah.
Look at how we vote. Look at what we. I'm talking about just in the Mahoning Valley. People think it is fraudulent here because you have precincts that you had no people who did not vote for in certain precincts. They were all for President Obama.
Well,
so
you know We still have these misconceptions about racism. Racism has nothing to do about liking and hating and stuff. It has to do about keeping blacks out of competition.
It's called the black codes, and yes, you're absolutely correct. And once again, it's by the people that you vote for every doggone election. And I'm not telling you to just run to the other side. I'm telling you to get a cohesive mindset of people and make people shop.
But Jeff,
vote.
I'm controlled. You keep on thinking that I'm not controlled. The problem is I'm not shopping for my vote because the people that I listen to are already bought and sold. And as a matter of fact, they sold me.
Do you know what just happened locally why the mayor's race went a certain way. Why the mayor's race went where they did something here locally for on the Democrat side.
Which one?
Well, in the general election, a lot of the Democrat people supported a Republican candidate for judge instead of supporting the Democrat one.
Okay.
That did not set well. And they cracked that whip and said, you are being bad Democrats, and this, that, and other. It's not about whether a person is an excellent judge.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You can't talk and you can't tell the whole story. You can't talk in abstracts.
Well, I'm not talking in abstracts. People get the point.
I don't get the point.
It's ridiculous for me to name names because
I'm not talking about naming names. Are you telling me the reason why the precinct committee people sided with John McNally is because of
when you had four people, two black people, going to run for mayor in this town, and now during their spring meeting, they came and endorsed a candidate already instead of allowing that this to open up the field to see who wins and then go through to the fall, is because somebody wanted to make sure that they got the judgeships. And when they didn't support the Democrat person running for judge, the whip was cracked. And they said, you are not being good Democrats. You must stick together, else we're going to lose. You're not losing anything if you have a good person in office. That's what it's supposed to be for. That person is serving the community. Has nothing to do with party there. But the thing is that's where you are having these people thinking now. I have to vote for the Democrat McNally now because I'm a precinct committee person and they told me I better. That don't make any sense. No sense.
But I know most of the people didn't show up.
That's not what happened.
It is what happened.
That's not what happened.
Okay.
That's not what happened. I mean, I would love to think that that's how they did it, but that's not what happened.
That ain't what happened. Okay.
I mean, a lot of people didn't show up, but that's not a public conversation. The problem is we are controlled by people who are not in looking out for our best interest. Period. No matter whether it be your council people, whether it be your school board, whether it be your mayors, whether it be your county commissioners, whether it be your elected officials statewide. We are not organizing to get what we need in our own community. Things are happening even across the board that we're not sitting at the tables and we're not getting the information as we should. That's just the truth of the matter.
Casey.
Yes?
Where's the table spread at?
The tables are spread early in the morning where you don't have access. And it's not because you're not invited. You just don't participate in it. Because we tend to see...
If I'm aware of it, I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. If it's for the betterment of my folks, I'm going.
But this is not about party. This is about placement. And what we're not doing is we're not making sure that the right people are in the right place that will come back and tell you what's going on. And when you try to tell people what's going on, they tend to have a problem. They don't show up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, seriously. Do you realize how many jobs are coming here with the tech belt and what needs to happen and what our kids need to have and where we're headed? And do we understand that we are not teaching, preaching, and singing this throughout all of our newspapers, throughout all of our conversations, throughout all of our barbershops, throughout all of our churches? You got a church bulletin that has absolutely nothing in it.
Okay. Now, there's information that you're aware of that I don't know, and mostly I'm supposed a whole lot of people don't know. So when information is gathered that you feel that is the betterment of the community, you need to ship it to somebody.
We do share it. When I call you and tell you that I'm going to share it and you don't show up, I'm only going to call you twice.
I'm not talking about you personally.
I'm talking about other people. You don't have the same platform, Gwen.
Folks should have been at that Chamber of Commerce dinner, the luncheon the other day.
They weren't there.
Okay.
You got to play to go.
Yeah, you got to pay to play. I know that.
And they got the money to go because we giving them money for everything else.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
we're the cows of the community in a sense, and that is the underworld money. The underworld money runs through us. Everything runs through us. If we spent our money in a block, we would be the 10th largest nation in the world.
Jeff, you're talking about banking. Do you know most of them own from other countries? Our folks don't own no banks anymore, Holly.
You don't have to own the bank?
You got several black-owned banks.
Governing and loans, things like that. They have their own products. Gwen, down. I was a loan officer for 4 years.
But, Gwen, in today's society, you don't have to own the bank. You just got to know the man who makes the decision about the loan. Listen, they may not tell you that they can make a decision, but there are people here that can make decisions. The problem is they don't have the respect for us to make the decision our way because they don't think that we'll do the right thing.
Them Somalis in Minnesota own their own Sharia banks.
We won't even come together to raise the money to build a credit union.
There's two black banks, I think it's two or three in the U.S. of A.
There's more than that. As a matter of fact, Magic Johnson and them own one. Magic and I think Magic and Janet Jackson and all of them came together in a consortium and they own a bank. And I want to say it was the Old People's Bank.
Did it go through?
Yeah, it went through. They just bought a bank that was already in existence before it went under.
And Magic Johnson put his hand to it. It's not going to not go through. Let's put it that
way. It's not like he had to have a credit check.
Right.
Magic also is the outreach person for Mercedes. I met him in Cleveland at one of George Fraser networking.
He's a great guy. But you got to show up and make sure that you know you're playing right. But they have it.
Well,
they've got African American banks, and you probably can get one here if you can show that you can get the deposits. The problem is we don't have the mindset to put our money in the bank if it comes.
Well, that goes with education. We got to reach out and keep on telling these churches where a few of the people do still.
They
got
to care. The churches, like I said, every church. You got 149 churches in the Mahoning Valley. Every almost all of them, 50% of them have a church bulletin.
Yeah, but Tracy, but
they don't use that church bulletin for to disseminate information.
Yeah, but Tracy, come on now. Black banks is not supposed to be making no unwise and disastrous loans, neither.
Now, I didn't say they're supposed to
do
that.
No, we're not talking about that.
And that mindset, what he's talking about, like we can't do. We are capable of running businesses. I mean, after all, we do have Obama in the White House, but the banks are regulated now. You just can't have a person to just go and you know, take the money and that's it. No. They have people that oversee you and oversee your loans and everything else, plus they are FDIC.
But listen, I just want you to understand, but they also know, just like when homes are foreclosed on in your community, the banks have the ability to transfer that property when they foreclose it at whatever time frame they choose. And because we don't hold the banks accountable in the inner city, they allow those homes to go into blight instead of transferring them to somebody who can either rent them out or make their new home out of it.
True.
And they've already got their money out of it because of the interest of the loan.
28 black banks in America.
Listen, I got to go. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day, and we'll see you then.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels.
and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies, saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin in Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman, and he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed.
Concerning
check around.
Gay marriage. Today was a challenge of Proposition 8, California's voter-approved ban on same-sex unions. Justice Anthony Kennedy urged his colleagues to listen to the children of same-sex couples.
They